Welcome to Shelter Cove. Thank you so much for joining us, and we hope that you find encouragement through today's message. For more information, check us out online at sheltercovelive.com or send us a text at 209-340-3115.
Hey guys, thanks so much for joining us today. My name is Jeremy, one of the pastors here at Shelter Cove, and maybe this is your first time joining us. Maybe you've been watching for a while. Either way, just so glad you're joining us today. I want to wish you a happy Mother's Day. Mother's Day is a great weekend for so many of us. For so many of us, it's an opportunity to celebrate our moms. If you're a mom, maybe celebrate your kids. And so it's often a great weekend of celebration, but it can also be a challenging week for so many of us. Maybe you've lost your mom, or maybe you don't have kids, or you don't have a good relationship with your children. Just want to be really sensitive of that. Also want to mention that my heart has been just really praying for those of you that have infertility challenges during this season. Love you, praying for you, praying that you would stay focused on the Lord and trusting in Him. Today I want to share with you a message that I believe is going to really encourage your heart. So Ephesians chapter 5, starting verse 1, is where we're going to be today. And life has the tendency just to pull us in so many different directions. We can get so focused on work. We can get so focused on projects. Life just happens. But again, we get pulled in so many different relationships. So as a follower of Jesus Christ, really, what needs to be our priority in our life in this season? What does God ultimately want us to do? So Ephesians 5, we're going to talk about that. Now, Paul's going to start off with this word in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. He says, therefore. Now, anytime the word therefore is there, we have to ask ourselves the question, what's the therefore there for? Now, back in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul's already mentioned, hey, man, you've changed. You've got this new life in Jesus Christ. You're not going to live a life like an unbeliever. You're going to live by the Spirit. You're going to take off the old self. You're going to put on the new, and you're going to live a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led life because now you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And what happens is this changes everything. It's going to change the way you talk. It's going to change your relationships. It's going to change the way you value different things. And because of that, this is the life that I want you to live. So Ephesians chapter 5 is where we're going to be. I'm turning there right now. And this is what he says. He says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, God, we love you. And we pray that you would fill our hearts, fill our minds with things that are of you, that you would encourage us and inspire us today. We love you, God. I pray for your help. I pray that the Holy Spirit would take a hold of my life and lead me and speak through me with great clarity and great passion. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today, if you're a mom, I just pray that this really encourages your heart. Today, it doesn't matter if you're not a mom, wherever you're at in life, my hope for you is that you would leave here mindful of the calling that God has placed upon our lives to do one simple thing, and that's walk in love. That we would ultimately live a life of love. Again, there's so many different things that we can get focused on, distracted on, especially in this season. So we're going to talk about what walking in love looks like. And I believe that there's four realities if you're taking notes. Number one is simply this. Walking in love is, first of all, Christ-like love. It's Christ-like love, that people would literally see the love of Christ in us and through us. And this is what Paul writes. He says, be imitators of God as beloved children. I love this word imitate. It's literally this word mime. What do people that mime after other people do? It's all actions. It's no words. And so Paul's saying, have a love that's more than talk. It's through the way that you live your life, through your actions, what you demonstrate, your priorities, make it obvious that you are miming after Jesus Christ in a way where other people see the love of Jesus Christ through you. You know, one of my prayers on a regular basis for my son, Jacob, many of you know Jacob's story. He's 16 years old, doesn't walk, doesn't talk, doesn't eat through his mouth. And my simple prayer is that my son Jacob would know the love of Christ through me, through the way that I care for him, through the way that I bathe him, hold him, whatever it is. I want Jake to know the love of Christ through me. And moms, let me just encourage you specifically. There are so many different things that we can get caught up in, especially when you have young kids. And we can think about all that needs to be done when it comes to schoolwork, when it comes to laundry, when it comes to sports, when it comes to trying to get our kids to sleep, trying to get them to eat, trying to get them to eat healthy, all these kind of things. But just to have a mindset of walking in love, that our kids would just see the love of Christ, that Christ-like love in and through us, because they can get good grades and they can be great athletes, but if they don't see Christ in us, we've really missed the calling that God has placed upon our lives. He says, be imitators of God and as beloved children. I love this, because the only way that we're going to demonstrate this love, to be able to imitate God, is if we're a child of God. And I love this, as a child of God. In the Greek, it's not this younger child, it's not this older child, it's this child that has the very nature of a father. And the only way that we can imitate Christ is if we have that very nature of God himself. And that's what happens when we become his child. We take on literally this DNA, the very nature of our Heavenly Father. So that nature allows us to love other people in this radical way. We can't do this on our own. This is only a life, like he says in chapter 4, that takes place with the power and the filling of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I love what it says in 1 John 3:18. He says, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. This is a Christ-like love. And when our children have this, often children will begin to mimic us. I think about this. Sometimes my friends and family members will see Drew doing something, and he'll be at the supermarket and there'll be tons of toilet paper, and he'll be like, hey, anybody know where the toilet paper is, right? Because that's a dumb joke that I would do. And people often say, hey, I see you and your son. And really, that's the goal. Not that people would see like us in our kids, but that people would see Christ in us. Why? Because our Father is our Heavenly Father. And when we are living in this Christ-like love, hopefully people will see in a tangible way the love of Christ through us. It's about 3 weeks ago, I was driving home. Drew and I were almost home. And I looked to the left as we were driving down this residential street, and there was this lady, and I could tell she was crying. And she was with another lady. The car was on the side of the road, and I knew something happened. I didn't know what happened. And as I got closer, they told me to stop, and I realized that there was a cat that had been hit by a car in the road. It was killed. And so I pulled over and just wanted to see if she was okay, and she wasn't. It was her pet cat, and she was having a really difficult time. And I had told Drew to just stay in the car, and I was going to get out and ask her if there's anything I could do to help. And you know, I'm not a cat lover myself, but at that moment, that cat was so valuable because it was so valuable to this lady. And so I asked her if there was anything I could do, if she wanted me to dispose of it. And she said, hey, that'd be greatly appreciated. So I went home, grabbed a shovel, was going to go back. Drew's like, hey, Dad, I don't really want to see this. Can I stay home? I'm like, sure, son. So I go back and I take care of the cat, and I'm able to pray for this lady, and I go about my way, take care of it. And in that moment, just trying to model for my son, hey, son, the love of Christ is always focused on people. It's always aware of people that are hurting, aware of people that are alone, aware of people that are in need of some love. That's why with Hallie, I'll often pray for Hallie and say, God, would you allow Hallie to make sure there's nobody alone at school? In fact, the other day I prayed for her and I was praying, you know, God, if there's somebody alone at the lunch table, help Holly to be able to sit next to her. And we get done praying. She's like, Dad, it's COVID. Everybody's alone at the lunch table. I'm alone at the lunch table. We're all spaced out. But the point is, for us to have this Christ-like love, we need to be focused on other people, the needs of other people, where other people are. Why? Because we're God's child and we're called to mime him, do actions that literally reflect the Father. Because the only version of the Bible that some people will ever read is the way we live our lives. So the first thing that we need to do is demonstrate and live out this Christ-like love. Second of all, walking in love is not only Christ-like love, but it's continuous love. It's happening all the time. And this is what Paul says. He says, walk in love. I love that word walk. It's peripateo in the Greek. It's making progress. It's continuing to move forward. It's constant. It's continuous. It's always there. It's not this light switch that we turn on and off. It's not situational. You know, I love Motel 6. What's their motto? We'll leave the light on for you. Jesus Christ has called us to be the lights of the world. Now, here's why this is so important. Here's why walking in love, being continual is so important. Because Paul's saying right here, I want you to walk in love. It doesn't matter who the person is. It doesn't matter how they respond to that love. It doesn't matter if they're a friend. It doesn't matter if they're an enemy. It doesn't matter if you know them. I want you to be like Christ and walk in love. He says this at the very beginning of Ephesians chapter 5. Again, this is so important because later in the rest of the letter, chapter 5 and chapter 6, who is Paul going to talk to? He's going to talk to wives. Wives, love your husbands. He's going to talk to husbands. Husbands, love your wives. He's going to talk about the family of parents and children, love each other. He's going to talk about coworkers, how there needs to be this love and respect for one another. And this makes it so much easier when we're not walking around and turning our light off and on when it comes to love based upon who somebody is or the current situation. No, it's a lifestyle that we have adopted as a child of God, where the love of Jesus Christ is flowing in us and through us, regardless of the person and regardless of the situation. He says, walk in love. That word love is agape. It's unconditional. Now, this is so different from our world's love. Our world's love is all based upon self, what I can get from you, what's in it for me, and people will manipulate others and make them feel good because the end goal is ultimately me. Like Christ-like love, it's never about me. It's always for God, for the sake of somebody else. It's what can I do for you? How can I help you? And how can I focus on your greatest good? In fact, there's some differences with godly love and worldly love. Godly love is love in action. Worldly love is a feeling. Godly love is loving is about those around me. Worldly love is about me. Godly love is unconditional. Worldly love is based upon what you've done for me. Godly love is a commitment. Worldly love is a face. Godly love is about giving. Worldly love, God is about getting. Godly love is about serving. Worldly love is about receiving. We could go on and on and on. There are so many differences in worldly love and godly love. But the question is, how do we live out this love that's continuous? We need to be in the Word of God. And if there's one chapter and one area of the Bible that I just want to encourage you to bookmark and read on a regular basis just to pray, because we can't do this in and of ourselves. It's 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 4, puts it this way. It says, love is patient and kind. It does not boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoings, but rejoices in the truth. And then it goes on and says this: love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And so one of the things I'd love to encourage you to do as a mom, maybe a dad, just as a sibling, a grandparent, a single person, is to read this passage on a regular basis and make it your prayer. And here's what I do. I'll say, Lord, help me to be patient. Lord, help me to be kind. And sometimes I don't even get past the patient part, right? Because it is so hard to be patient as a parent, as a mom. I mean, your kids do crazy things. You feel like you're, you know, trying to be the referee and they're cage fighting all the time. It is insane. But what would it look like for you on a regular basis, a weekly basis, maybe right now on a daily basis, to just make 1 Corinthians chapter 13, those 4 or 5 verses, your prayer, where you're just saying, God, help me to love. Because I can't do this in and of myself. Now, moms, let me just pastor you just for a moment and encourage you, especially if you're a mom with young kids. It is so difficult and it is so challenging to be a mom with little kids. I mean, by the time you want to go someplace to get them in the car, you have to change their diapers and you've got another kid maybe that's trying to grab his baseball cards and it takes a half hour to do that and you're going to a friend's house and the kids over there don't even care about baseball cards, and by the time you get everybody loaded, the kids are hungry, crying, you don't even want to go anywhere by that time, right? Or you're constantly, how many times can your kids call mom in one day, right? Hey, mom, you just want to hide in the closet. I mean, when's the last time you've went to the bathroom by yourself? Like, it is hard to be a young mom with all the cooking and the cleaning, and you feel like your house is ransacked on a regular basis. If you're not careful, don't miss this. You can put so much pressure on yourself where you feel just guilty all the time. You live with this mom guilt where you feel like a failure. You know, I felt like that at times. I felt like a failure as a dad, as a husband, as a pastor, as a friend. And often when that happens, it's because I lose focus on what's really important. Here's how I want to encourage you, moms. For some of you, you put way too much pressure on yourself. Way too much. You have this perfectionist mentality. And what would it look like for you in this season to just give yourself some grace and say, you know what, over the next season, what I want to do is I just want to walk in love. I'm going to pray that I would love my kids, even when I want to strangle them at times, right? Just keeping it real. I'm going to pray. I'm just going to love my kids even when they're disobedient, defiant, even when they show no love in return. Why? Because that's the kind of love that God has for us. But what would it look like for you in this season to just give yourself some grace and say, you know what, my kids are not perfect. My kids are not going to be perfect, but there's one thing that I want to do in life. Let's just walk in love. I want them to see this Christ-like love in me. I want them to see this continuous love in me, regardless if they're having a good day or a bad day. They are seeing Christ in my life. It is messy being a mom. And some of you, this is the greatest thing that you need to hear today. Give yourself some grace. There's going to be times when you lose it. There's going to be times where you get angry. There's going to be times where you get frustrated. What do? You apologize to your kids and you remind them that you need the grace of Jesus Christ just as much as they do. People need to see what it looks like to be an authentic follower of Jesus Christ. That means at times you're going to blow it, but when you blow it, you admit it, and you remind them of the grace of God. Because why? Love, it's continuous. It's constant. So the first thing that we see in this passage is this Christ-like love, where we want people to see Christ in our life. Second of all, it's continuous love. It happens all the time. It's not situational love. It's not about us. It's always by God, for God, for the sake of somebody else. Thirdly, Paul tells us this is a costly love. This is a costly love. And this is what he says. He says, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. I love that. The greatest reason why we can love other people is because Jesus Christ loves us. Maybe some of you need to hear that today. You may feel unwanted. You may feel unworthy. You may feel undeserving which we are all undeserving. Christ loves you. He loves you exactly where you're at. In fact, he loves us so much that the Bible says, for God so loved the world, God loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John 3:16 puts it this way. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for others. It says, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. See, that's the beauty of the gospel, is that we're stuck in our sin, that we are hopeless and helpless in and of ourselves to get right with God and deal with the sin issue in our lives. And what did Jesus Christ do? He demonstrated costly love. Why? So we could be right with the Father, so that our sin issue could be dealt with. I mean, think about what this cost Jesus. It cost him his physical health. I mean, he was whipped so many different times. He was crucified. It cost him his spiritual health. I mean, think about it. He felt like he was distant from the Father. It cost him his relational health. He had friends that bailed on him at the last minute. I mean, this was a very kind of costly love for Jesus. And Paul wants us to understand, as it was costly for Jesus, it's going to be costly for us. Now, what's it going to cost us? I believe it's going to cost us several different things. But one of the greatest things it's going to cost us is time. Why? Because time is valuable. There's going to be opportunities where God puts people in your life that's unexpected, where sitting with them and listening to them and loving them is one of the greatest things that you can do, but it's going to cost you. Why? Because your plans are going to change. Those things you wanted to do the rest of the day, out the window. Why? Because God calls us to love in a way that's about others and not ourselves. What else is it going to cost you? It's going to cost you your comfort. You're going to be called and asked to do things that are uncomfortable. Again, to go back to the cat story, it cost me my time. It was not comfortable. I'm not a big cat person in and of itself, but to take care of that cat and dispose of it, it was uncomfortable, but I knew I had to do it because that's what love does. Love will always cost us. Now, because of that, let me get real practical just for a moment. I think we need to set ourselves up for success. I think because we know that love is costly and that we're going to be called to die to ourselves, there are certain things that we need to do as a mom, as a dad, as a student, grandparent, single person, to set ourselves up for success. Number one is we have to be in the Word. We have to be in the Word of God, whether it's 1 Corinthians, reading that on a regular basis, going through the Scripture. We have to fill ourselves, our hearts, and our minds with the Word of God. Second of all, we have to be in prayer. We have to be praying that God would help us do this because we can't do this in and of ourselves. Thirdly, for some of you, you just need to go to bed earlier. Some of you are setting yourselves up for failure when it comes to love because you are so tired because you're staying up till midnight, 1 or 2. You're on 4 or 5 hours of sleep and you find yourself impatient. You find yourself irritated because you're not disciplined enough to go to sleep. And so, again, there are some certain things that we can do that are very practical that will help us because at the end of the day, love is costly. To speak to husbands just for a moment, of especially young kids, I think one of the greatest ways that I would encourage you, especially when you get home, is when you know your wife has had a long day and maybe she hasn't even had time to get dressed yet because it has been one of those days where the kids have been just chaos. Here's my encouragement for you. Step up and step in. Step up and step in. When you get home, you ask your wife, what do you need? What can I do? You discipline the kids when they need to be disciplined. And you know, you discipline, you always make sure the punishment matches the crime. I remember, you know, and that's costly in and of itself. I remember my dad would tell me when he would discipline me, he'd say, Jeremy, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And now that I'm a dad, like, I still don't believe that. Like, I still think it hurt me more than it hurt him the way he disciplined, right? Just keep it real, right? But it is hard to discipline your kids. But when you do that, it's uncomfortable. You do that. You always remind your kids, man, I love you. Man, I'm so thankful for you. And what kind of a dad, what kind of a mom would I be if I didn't discipline you? And so here's what the consequence is going to be. And here's the goal, is that you'd learn from this and that you would be more like Christ. But dads, one of the greatest things that we can do is step up and step in. And I'll speak from personal experience. One of the last things I want to do when I get home at times is discipline my kids. One of the last things I want to do is step up and step in. One of the first things I want to do is hide, right? I want to hide in the closet sometimes too, because it's been a long day. Love is costly. Been reminded over this last season how much of the Christian life is just dying to self. Okay, when I get home, my evening may look nothing like I want it to. I may not get done what I want, I think. Why? Because it's not about me. It's about Christ and others. It's costly. It's going to cost you financially. Paul says, walk in love. What does that look like? Number one, it's Christ-like, that people would see Christ in us. Number two, it's continuous. It's not this light switch we turn on and on. Thirdly, it's costly. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you your energy. It's going to cost you finances. It's going to cost you times everything. But lastly, walking in love is consecrated love. And I love this. This allows us to understand why we can do this and how we can do this. What does it mean to be consecrated? It means to be set apart. It means to be holy. Paul goes on and finishes off with this: a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Jesus gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We're to walk in that kind of love. Fragrant offering. I love what some translations say. The New King James Version says it's a sweet smelling aroma. When we love this way, that's sacrificially, that's costly, that's about God and about others. Why is that word so important? Well, we see it 16 different times in the book of Leviticus. Anytime somebody did a sacrifice on behalf of God, it says that the aroma of the sacrifice was pleasing to God. When Noah, in Genesis chapter 8, got out of the ark, what did he do? He made a sacrifice, and the aroma was pleasing to God. Don't miss this. When you love like Jesus in a way that's Christ-like, consistent, and costly, it is an act of worship where the aroma of loving is pleasing to God. That's why we do this. Not ultimately for the sake of somebody else, but our love, the way we love our kids, even when they're disrespectful, the way we love our kids when they're tired, when we don't feel like it, when we love our kids, when we feel like throwing in the towel, when we love our neighbors, our coworkers, whoever it is, why do we do it? Because it's an act of worship. It's a way for us to love in such a way where the aroma of that love is pleasing to God. Moms, be encouraged today. Dads, be encouraged. Students, be encouraged. Grandparents, be encouraged. Single people, be encouraged. Because here's the reality: with everything that we feel like we have to do or want to do, boy, give yourself some grace. And in this next season, make the commitment just to walk in love. Because here's what's going to happen when you walk in love. People are going to see a Christ-like love. They're going to see a continuous love. People are going to see a costly love. And people are going to see a consecrated love in a way that ultimately draw people closer to Jesus Christ. That's my hope for you today. It's the hope I have for myself, is that at the end of the day, I'd say, God, help me to walk in love. Now, maybe you're here today and you're watching this and you're like, man, I really don't know much about God. I don't know where I'm at with God. Really, the first step of becoming a follower of Jesus Christ is just receiving Him. It's recognizing that your sin separates you from God and that you need a Savior. And so in just a moment, I'm going to pray for you. And if you've never made the decision to give your life to Jesus Christ, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that now. Heavenly Father, God, we love you. And God, we thank you for the moms that are watching today. We pray that they would be encouraged in a powerful way. We thank you for everyone else as well, and pray that you would give us the strength and the peace to walk in love. And God, for my friends that are watching and they don't have a relationship with you right now, God, and maybe this is you, friend, you're watching today and you're not aware of how much that God loves you, that God loves you so much that He sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross in your place for your sins. Why? Because there's nothing we can do in and of ourselves that will allow us to be right with God. It's not our works. It's not trying to balance the scales. It's not that all roads lead to heaven. No, there's one road, and it's through the person of Jesus Christ. And if you've never received Him as your Savior, you can do that right now. It's not the words of the prayer. It's the attitude of the heart that says something like this. It says, God, I need you. And I know there's one of two things that I can do with Jesus, your Son. It's either to receive Him or reject Him. And so today what I want to do is I want to receive Him as my Lord and Savior. And I'm going to turn from my sin. I'm going to turn away from my worldliness and my wickedness. And I'm going to turn to you to save me from my sin and save me from myself. God, today I receive your forgiveness and I give you total control of my life. And I ask that you would allow me to be the person you want me to be. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, hey, thanks again for joining us today. Again, happy Mother's Day. If you did make a decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you want to know more about that, would you just text us at this number right here on the screen, and one of our staff will get back to you. If there's anything we can help you to do with the journey of Jesus, we'd love to do that. But again, if you made a decision, let us know, and we're going to continue worshiping Jesus together right now.